This is Alive with Joseph.
Glory to God. We are looking at manifesting your sonship by light. And we are going to go straight into where we left it off yesterday. The good news is all the teachings we're gradually moving them to the podcast. You can get all our teachings on the podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and TuneIn as well. You'll find all the teachings there. You know, they're there. Alive with Joseph. You'll find the podcast there. Amen. So you'll find them there. So let's move straight into where we left it off yesterday. You know, when you and I truly put off the mindset and identity of slavery, it changes everything around us. That is, your whole life becomes transformed when you begin to ask, you know, how will God approach certain things when God is confronted with those things? What will it look like if, you know, how will God respond to certain things when God is confronted? Because when you begin to ask those questions, you begin to discover who you are, and understanding that when God is confronted with certain things, there is a way God will respond, which you too are supposed to respond. Understand that the blessing of living in sonship is limitless. But many do not engage that invitation into sonship. Many believers do not engage the invitation into sonship. Why? Because doing so will simply mean that you're going to have to face so many broken patterns and allowing God to heal tendencies that seek to pull you and I into spiritual slavery. The long-term consequences of remaining in spiritual slavery, there are many. But here is a key area that manifests itself when you and I do not step up to receive the sonship that is available to us. Number one, if you begin to see fear. Fear is one of the major symptoms of slavery. Fear. Every slave is always afraid. Every slave is always afraid. Every slave is always afraid. So fear is a major symptom of slavery. When you find a believer who is always fearful, is a clear indication that this believer is clothed with a slave identity. It means that the believer do not know who they are. That believer doesn't know who they are, because fear is a major symptom of slavery. Number two is carnality. Carnality is a clear symptom of slavery. Carnality is a clear symptom of slavery. When you begin to see a believer that constantly and consistently live a carnal life, is an indication that they are bound with the identity of slavery. When a believer consistently and constantly live a carnal life, is an indication that they are bound with the identity of slavery. These two, I will only give you these two and leave the rest, because these two are the major ones. When a believer walks in fear, consistent fear, when a believer lives in consistent carnality, that is to say, they seem to not grow the works of the flesh. They seem to not outgrow certain things. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be an automatic thing. It's a gradual process. And that is to say, the you we know this year should not be the same you we know next year. That is, there are certain areas that you should outgrow and have outgrown because of your consistent fellowship with the Almighty God. Amen. So there got to be growth. If you don't grow, friends, you cannot fully become what God wants you to be. Growth is not a gift. Growth is responsibility accepted. Growth is not a gift. Growth is responsibility accepted. And you must accept responsibility early so that you do not become a liability. When a believer does not accept responsibility early, they become a liability. If you and I fail to accept responsibility for our growth, we will not be able to take ownership, and we will become a liability to ourselves, a liability to the people around us, and also a liability to the kingdom of God. We have too many, you know, believers who are liabilities. We have too many believers who are liabilities to the kingdom of God. They seem to not contribute anything to the growth of the kingdom of God. The only thing they come to the kingdom of God to do is to receive and cause confusion. There are those, they will not enter. They stand by the door and they stop others from entering. Even those who have managed to enter, they go out of their way to remove them from where they have entered. Why? Because they are not growing, and when they are not growing, they become a liability. Imagine if you have a child who is not growing. That child will end up becoming a liability. And Jesus wants you and I to grow. And I pray for you tonight, you will not fail the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. I say you will grow in the name of Jesus. You won't die a liability in the name of Jesus. Let your amen come like a believer. You know, there are so many stages of growth. And before we get into those stages of growth, I want us to understand that the primary agent for preparing us to be revealed or manifested is the Word of God. The primary agent that prepares us for sonship, prepares us to grow from a child to a son, is the Word of God. The Word of God is our spiritual diet. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, Jesus speaking, he said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. This bread alone here is not only it's not talking about food, it's talking about natural tendencies. Man shall not live by natural tendencies alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the primary and sole agent for the growth of the saints is the Word of God. There is no other way to grow outside of the Word of God. So if you don't like the Word of God, you will not be able to grow, because the only way to grow is by the Word of God. The only way to grow is by the Word of God. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. Desire it. Hunger for it. Desire it. Why? Because the only agent for growth in the kingdom of God is the Word of God. That is why in the house, in a life church, the greatest amount of time we spend is in the Word of God, because the Word is also light, and the amount of light you have determine how bright you will shine. The amount of light you have determine how bright you will shine. So when you grow, your glory shines. When you grow, your life shines. When you grow, everything around you shines. Why? Because the more you grow by the Word of God, the more light intake you have, and the brighter you are able to shine. I pray for you today. Your days of staying in darkness, they are over forever in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. May you grow in the name of Jesus. And as you grow, may you shine brighter in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your highest praise if you believe that. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? So the word, you know, carnal there, the word carnal there, let's look at something there. The word carnal there means unspiritual. So when a believer is not growing, the believer becomes unspiritual. When a believer is not growing by the sincere milk of the Word of God, they become carnal, they become unspiritual. Now, that word carnal also means fleshy. It means fleshy. It means unspiritual. It means to live or abide by the dictates of the flesh. Let's read Amplified Classic Edition. Let's see how the Amplified Version breaks it down for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3 says, for you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh, under the control of ordinary impulses, for as long as they are envying. He now began to tell us what those ordinary impulses are. He said, well, every time we see you manifest this, is an indication that you're unspiritual. My God, how many unspiritual people do we have in the church? He said, when we see this, envying, jealousy, wrangling, factions. You know, we don't only have factions in the political parties. We have factions in the church. Factions. Among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men? Behaving yourself like human standards, like mere unchanged men. So these are the clear indication that someone is unspiritual. You don't need a prophecy to show you someone who is unspiritual. So if you're the type, you're in the house of God, you are always jealous, you are always wrangling, you are always in all kinds of things, you're always bitter, you're always fighting, you're always, you know, the Bible says here, you are behaving like a mere unchanged man. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Glory to God. So you experience a challenge when you function at this level. And when people experience this challenge, they conclude that they cannot make it. So you see them when they experience any little challenge, when they are at this level, when they are functioning at this level, you discover that any little challenge, they conclude. Why? Because they are functioning by ordinary impulses. They are being ruled by their impulses. Their body, you know, does not feel somehow. They conclude that they are not well. You know, they have symptoms in their body, you know, they conclude. And you see that, how can a spiritual man, symptoms in the physical body, decide for a spiritual man? So you see them, you know, they feel somehow, they just conclude that, you know, this is what is happening. Why? Because the fact that their impulses is controlled by the flesh, they can never get to the place where they see things beyond the flesh. They don't see anything beyond natural manifestation. They are being ruled by what they see, what they feel, what they hear. You know, they hear something about a sister. They conclude. They take sides. They start fighting the sister unnecessarily. Have you ever heard that? Is there anybody like that? No, it's nobody here. This is a holy church, man. Amen. There's nobody like that here. I'm talking to someone somewhere else. And the scriptures cannot be broken. The scriptures cannot be broken. That is to say, when you understand that by his stripes you are healed, when the enemy attacks your body, you do not conclude that the attack of the enemy is the final say. When you understand that in spite of the pain in your body, you are healed, you are not sick, but a baby, an unspiritual believer, a carnal believer, is moved by what he or she sees, what they feel, what they hear, what happens around them. Why? Because they have not grown beyond ordinary impulses. They have not grown beyond that impulses, the natural impulses. So they are unspiritual. How can a believer allow themselves to be controlled by feelings? The Bible makes it clear in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, that we walk by faith and not by feelings. We walk by faith and not by feelings. So then we walk by faith and not by feelings. Then Romans 10, 17 now tells us, rather, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We walk by faith, not by feelings. And this faith we walk by comes by hearing. You see again, the primary agent for growth. This faith we must walk by, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, spiritual input determines your output, your natural output. You cannot produce what has not entered into you. You cannot produce what has not entered you. The reason why many are not walking by faith, they are walking by sight. Put that scripture for me on the screen. We walk by faith and not by sight. Any scripture I quote, I didn't give to you. Put it on the screen for me. I want people to see, because it's a transformational ministry. And in transformation, it is necessary people follow line by line, precept upon precept. Amen. I'm not an entertainer. Give Jesus praise. Amen. I'm not a motivational speaker. Amen. Line upon line. So any scripture I call, put it on the screen for me. Thank you. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. No. As it is written, thank you. The just shall live by faith. But there's the one that says, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's what I'm looking for. Put that one for me. We walk by faith and not by sight. So when you do not receive the intake of the word of God, you are not able to walk by faith. You are not able to, and when you do not walk by faith, you will walk by what you feel. You will walk by your feelings. Put it there for me. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In case you quote the scripture all the time, you don't know where it is. This is where it is. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So when a believer does not feed on the primary agent of growth, which is the word of God, they will walk by feelings, they will not walk by faith. They will walk by sight, they will not walk by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is why spiritual input, as I said earlier on, decides your output. You cannot produce what has not entered into you. Your word intake Hear me clearly. Your word intake is so vital for producing qualitative delivery in your adventure here on the earth. Your word intake is very vital in you delivering quality in your adventure here on earth as a saint. So your word intake, the amount of God's word that you take in on the inside of you, decides the quality of life that you will live. It decides the quality of life that you will produce. It decides the quality of life that you will dispense to others. So when a man is being controlled, when a believer is being controlled by ordinary impulses, they are being controlled by how they feel. They say, you know, what they say, you will see that they keep speaking things that will not build faith. Why? Because what they feel is what decides what they say. What they feel is what decides what they say. The word of God does not decide what they say. It is what they feel that decides what they say. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. This evening, rather. So you're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by what you hear. You're not moved by what others are saying. You are moved by the word of God. Why? Your word intake is so much that your first response to anything is the word of God. Your first response to anything is the word of God. Your first response, instanta, to anything is the word of God. Your first approach, or when anything happens, the first thing you weigh it side by side with is the word of God. It's not the opinion of anybody, it's the word of God. When anything happens, you weigh it side by side with the word of God to determine how you will respond. Are you understanding me, friends? So you're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by, you know, what anyone tells you. You are not moved by what your mind tells you, the opinions of people, what your friends tells you. You are moved by what the word of God says. So how do we know a man that is unspiritual, a man how do we know a man that has the nature of the flesh? How do we know a man that is unspiritual, a man that has the nature of the flesh? So let's look at the flesh. What is the flesh? The Bible tells us, Romans 8 verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The flesh is a mindset. The flesh is a mindset. The flesh is a mindset. I'm zooming in more on the consequences of not growing, which is carnality. You know, the one of fear, we'll deal with fear some other time. But I'm zooming in more on carnality. The flesh is a mindset. To be carnally minded. To be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. Then the Amplified Version puts it this way. The Amplified Classic Edition paints a better picture for us. It said, now the mind of the flesh, which is sense, what I said earlier on, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. Sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. The man who is not growing will always reason without the Holy Spirit. A believer who is not growing, they will always reason without the Holy Spirit. They will always reason based on what they are going through, based on the opinions of people. When they are reasoning, the word of God is not involved in their reasoning faculty in making that decision. No, when they are reasoning, it has to be what social media is saying. That is why you see some believer, when social media fights the church, they join. Why? Because their reasoning, it has nothing to do with scriptures. It has everything to do with what social media is saying. If social media attack pastors, they join. If social media condemn giving in the church, they join. Why? Because their reasoning has nothing to do with scriptures or the Holy Spirit. Their reasoning is based on the trend that time. Whatever is trending, that is what will form the basis for their reasoning. So he says here, and without the Holy Spirit is death. Death that comprises all the miseries, can you see that, arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul, peace, both now and forever. So the flesh, when the Bible talks about the flesh, the Bible is not referring to your physical body. The flesh is not your physical body. When the Bible talks about the flesh, the Bible is not talking about your physical body. The flesh is your way of reasoning, is your way of thinking. The word carnal means flesh. So you see, when a believer has not grown, no word intake, when they have to reason, every of their reasoning will be by the flesh. Will be by the flesh. When people do them anything, every or their reason will be by the flesh. You know, when they have disagreement with a sister, they will behave, you know, like an unbeliever will behave. They will not behave like a believer ought to behave. The scripture says, if your brother sin against you, call them. And if they refuse, the Bible says, go to the elders of the church. Speak to the elders. Let them approach the person. Not for you to come and tell us they did this, she did this, she didn't did this, she did all of those. No. It's so that we can reconcile so the brotherly bond can continue. And the Bible said, now if the person refused reconciliation for brotherly bond, it says, leave the person. That's the final level. But you, listen. When did you ever do such a thing? When anybody does anything, you form your own group so that you can deal with the person properly. You even form a WhatsApp group. And the person becomes the object of attack. And you come and, fire. My sister, stop that. That explains why many believers are not getting results. The Bible said, if your brother sinned against you, you're coming to give. It didn't say don't give. No. Keep the money on the altar. Because the kingdom needs it. You go back and reconcile. And reconcile. Then, by the time you reconcile, because, you know, then your heart now must come back to worship. So that's what the scriptures is saying. You and I, when we grow, we will be able to function by the scriptures. Everything we do will be by the word of God. And it will not be by the opinion of anybody. It will be by the word of God. Give the Lord your praise one more time. Hallelujah. And those who are online, put any emoji on the live chat. Let me know that you're there. Hallelujah. So the flesh is not your body. The flesh is a way of thinking. And the word kana means flesh. To be fleshly minded is death. The flesh is not it's your mind, it's a mindset. The flesh is a way of thinking, is your sense, your way of reasoning. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when the Bible says you are carnal, it means that you are flesh ruled. You are flesh ruled. When the Bible says you are carnal, it means that you are unspiritual. It means that you are being controlled by ordinary impulses. Now, let's finish that scripture. You know, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 3:3. It says, for you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh, under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envy and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men? So when we behave like that, we reduce ourselves to human standard. He says, you are unspiritual. And an unspiritual person is a child. Unspiritual people are children, and children cannot take their inheritance. Why? Because they are slaves. An unspiritual person, a carnal person, is a child, and a carnal person a child cannot take their inheritance. Why? Because a child is still functioning as a slave. Slaves do not take inheritance. And even though they are not slaves by physical appearance, they are slaves by the manifestation of the symptoms, but they are slaves in the realms of the spirit. Paul, at this point, you can see when he was speaking to the Corinthian church was one of the most carnal church he had to deal with. So when he was addressing them, their carnality was... It's just like, you know, their carnality is like the world we live in today. The level of carnality among believers is just something else. So he was dealing with this, you know, to the point where he said, are you not carnal? Like, you know, you guys are carnal. Paul, at this point, I believe he was angry. I didn't say he was. I believe he was. The Bible didn't say that. He said, when you should by now become teachers. I said yesterday, by now some of you should become disciples. I mean, you should be discipling others. By now, you should become teachers. But he said, you are still spiritual children. You are still spiritual children. Paul said, when it was time for you to be spiritual, you are still running around with spiritual diapers. You are still running around with spiritual diapers. You are still babes. Therefore, the estates cannot be handed over to you. Estates are not handed over to children. You give estates to men. And I pray for you today. Whatever have slowed down your spiritual growth, I cut it off in the name of Jesus. I say I cut it off in the name of Jesus. Whatever have slowed down your spiritual growth, I cut it off in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your highest praise tonight. You and I, you know, cannot be great as long as we remain children. As long as we remain children. As long as we remain children, we can do all we want to do. You can network all you want to network. Except the Lord promotes you, is a waste of time. There are certain dimensions you will not come into. Promotion does not come from human effort. Promotion comes from the Lord. There are certain dimensions of inheritance certain believers will never carry until they grow. Why? Because if they carry it, it will destroy them. And God wants you to see go to heaven. So promotion comes from the Lord, according to Psalm 75 verse 6. And that is why, you know, matter, matter, Jesus said, you matter over many things. You matter over many things. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. Jesus said to matter. One thing is needful. You have neglected what is necessary. You are chasing what is not necessary. That is to say, God, Jesus looked at Peter and said, looked at matter and said, I understand what you're doing. But now, one thing is needful now, to receive at the feet of the master. And that's what your sister has done. There are too many things that we are chasing after that we are neglecting what is needful. Whatever you are looking for in life, if God does not open the door for you, you are wasting your time. You are wasting your and God cannot open doors, certain level of doors, to children. God cannot open the door of inheritance to children. If there is anything a man, a believer, should pursue in the kingdom, is spiritual growth. If there is one thing as a believer, listen, I'm speaking to you now sincerely as your pastor, as your spiritual guide, as your spiritual mentor. If there's anything you must sincerely pursue, it's spiritual growth. When you grow spiritually, you become a spiritual commander. You become a spiritual controller. Then when you control in the realms of the spirit, natural things will respond to you easily. Matthew 6:3, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things people are dying for will be made available to you. All these things people are seeking for will start seeking for your attention. And that is why those of you that are dedicated to the word of God, listen, can I tell you this? There is no way you will not be promoted this year. Listen, there is no way, no devil in hell can stop your promotion this year. And I declare, receive it in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you have consciously committed yourself to the word of God. If you don't grow, you remain a slave. If you are here, the word of God cannot rebuke you. The word of God cannot correct you. The word of God cannot transform you. The word of God cannot speak to you. And you still smile. You're a child. You're a child. The scriptures cannot be broken. For as long as the heir remains a child, he is not different from a slave. Give the Lord your praise tonight. God wants us to grow. God wants us to grow. God wants us to grow. Why is it that you see a believer today, you know, claiming to be born again, and the next thing you see them following inyangas? How do you explain that? You see, that's one thing I'm still struggling to wrap my head around. A believer is using mutis. When you shake them, things are dropping. You shake them, things are dropping. They use mutis for men, use mutis for their husband, use mutis on women for their wives. You know, you they have one they tie on their waist, they have one they drink, they have one they put under the bed. How do you explain that? A Christian who claims to pray in tongues. No, man. There's some level of deception that is going on. It's a clear indication that we think that people are growing. They are not growing. They are not growing. How do we search you as a believer? We find mutis with you.
Something is not right. It shows that the curriculum we are using, is it has failed. Because, you know, if it is not graduating people to be able to walk away from things of the flesh, then the curriculum is failing. Let's give Jesus praise, please. The curriculum is failing. That a believer cannot, you know, become born again 1 year later, they cannot be able to comfortably say, the things I used to do, I do them no more. Then the curriculum is failing. We need to come back to the drawing board and go back to our curriculum and check. What is it that we have been teaching someone that has not made them catch enough fire to be able to say, the things I used to do, I do them no more. A man is still beating his wife and he claims to be born again. No. Something is wrong, because the Holy Ghost should be able to tame you. That as you are lifting that hand, the Holy Ghost says, if you drop it, you will collect angelic slap. But because the man is not within the parameters where the Holy Ghost can speak to him, he is outside the window where the Holy Ghost can reach him. How do you explain it? Please. How do you explain it? That a believer goes through challenge. They run to a shebeen. Run to the bottle. Instead of running to the book. It doesn't make sense. There's no amount of challenge I will go through in life that will make me run to the bottle. How can bottle deliver me? When we have this. This life. So it means that our curriculum is flawed. Our curriculum there's some things in it. It's either the students are refusing to learn or the teachers are not teaching properly. One out of the two is happening. Are you understanding me tonight? It is time to grow. Declare, say, I will grow. Thunder loud and clear, I will grow. Because if we do not grow, we remain as slaves. So let take note of the following quickly. As I said, I will give you the different stages of growth. Number one, we have the natural man. I have just 10 minutes to do this. The natural man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That means there is a natural, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness, they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I added my notes to the scriptures. So it shows that you didn't read it. You just copied and pasted. I added a portion I wanted to speak to the scriptures. So it means there is a natural man, and a natural man does not have the capacity to receive. A natural man does not have the capacity to. So we have, number one, the natural man who does not have the capacity to receive. A natural man doesn't have the capacity to receive. Because as I'm speaking right now to a natural man, all I am saying is not registering. To a natural man, he's not registering because there is no capacity to receive. The Amplified Version paints a picture for us. It tells us this, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. But the natural man, non-spiritual man, does not accept or welcome or admit, I like this, into his heart the gifts and the teachings and the revelation of the Spirit of God, for they are fully, that's foolishness, meaningless nonsense to him. He is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. They are spiritually discerned, spiritually estimated and appreciated. So the natural man, the Bible says the non-spiritual man, which I've been explaining to you, the carnal man, the natural man, the carnal man, the non-spiritual man, cannot be able to admit into their hearts the revelation of the Holy Spirit. They cannot admit into that the revelation of the Holy Spirit. It is like bringing a radio to tap into a television signal. It cannot work. So there are many who are radios in the house of God, and the signal we are giving to them is television signal. So they are struggling. Why? Because they are refusing to grow. So they are remaining as radios. So, and the reason, you know, a radio cannot tap into a television signal is because the radio is not televisionally discerned. It doesn't have the capacity to take the frequency, you know, for television. A natural man, even if for a natural man right now, even if the whole heaven comes down here, the natural man will still not catch anything. Amen. He will just be looking, no capacity to receive. Hallelujah. Who is a natural man? A natural man is a non-spiritual man that does not have any relationship with the Holy Spirit. A natural man is the one who just comes to church because he cannot go to, you know, a shrine on a Sunday morning. Because he can't go to a mosque on a Sunday morning, or because there's no party on a Sunday morning for him to go to. So he just breezes into church. A natural man is the one who comes to church because he cannot go anywhere else on a Sunday morning. So he's fulfilling a religious obligation. He has no relationship or whatsoever with the Holy Spirit and with the Almighty God. So the first level is a natural man. All of us, when we meet God, we meet him as natural men. When we got born again, that seed of God comes on the inside of God. The life of God comes on the inside of God. Transforms us from natural people now to spiritual people. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 now tells us this. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 3, quickly. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature the children of wrath, even as others. This was what we were before we got born again. We were natural men. We were children of the wrath. We were children of disobedience. We were people that operated under the impulses and the influences of satanic and demonic influences, because we were without God, we were without Christ, so we were without hope in the world. Then one day you and I becomes born again. We became now a righteous man by nature. Even in the school of righteousness now, when you become a righteous man by nature, by being born again, growth is now necessary. Growth is that is why many come into that level. They remain at that level forever, and they die and go to heaven at that level, and they never go beyond that level, because that is the level God meets all of us. But he now expects every one of us to grow beyond that level. Now, why are they children? Because even though they are the righteousness of God, the Bible said that because they have refused to grow, they are unskilled in the word of righteousness. They are unskilled. Why? Because what makes you mature is in the spirit. What matures you in the spirit is skillfulness in righteousness. Hebrews chapter 5. Go there quickly. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Hebrews 5:13. It says this. It says, for everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. What is the unskillfulness in the word of righteousness? Even though someone is born again, you see that because they are unskilled in the word of righteousness, you see that they remain at that level. They are being tormented at that level because why? They have not taken enough of God's word to bring them to the place where they become skilled in the word of righteousness. When someone is unskilled in the word of righteousness, you will see them, they are still full of condemnation. They are still full of manifestation of the flesh. They are still full of guilt. They are still full of self-consciousness. They are still full of inferiority complex. So such a person, the Bible says, he is still a babe, even though they are righteous. They are just a righteous babe. They are still small. You know, in the realms of the spirit, anything can happen to them. They become vulnerable to all kinds of things. Anything can happen to them. Then we continue further. Verse 14 now says, there is now a process of growth. For a righteous babe to become a righteous son, righteous sons are skillful in the word of righteousness. The Bible says, let's read it together. Everybody, let's read it together. Those online as well, let's read it together. At the count of three, one, two, three, go. But strong meat, let's start again. Are you ready? One, two, three, let's go. Everybody, thunder it. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Strong meat You know, you don't give a child, a newborn baby, meat. Do you give them meat? What do you keep giving them? Milk, 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 milk. So when you become born again, we begin to give you milk. We send you to Christianity 101 so that you can drink milk. We now bring you up a little bit, you know, send you to discipleship school so that you can drink some more milk and grow. Now, if that is the only milk, if the only thing you eat is milk, 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 3 years down the line, you're still drinking milk. 5 years down the line, you're no longer bringing no strong meat. You will not become productive to the kingdom of God. It's a strong meat. You must get to the place where now you are not introduced to strong meat. Your teeth is grinding the thing. You know? You know, there's some meat you must grind. If you swallow it, you'll be in danger. It will just sit on your chest. It might send you to ICU. So you grind it. Now, there are believers who never come to this level. They have understood this level is where they understood their rights and privileges. They know who they are. They cannot take no for an answer. They have assumed full sonship in their status as sons. They have access into the light of God that shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot handle it. They themselves have become light. And the Amplified Version puts it this way: but solid food is for full grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary, either to divine or human law. They have trained their senses. They have trained their senses. How do they train their senses? They search the scriptures. That's how you train your senses. They search the scriptures. They train their senses. They keep training their senses. Every day they train their senses. They practice. They practice. They practice. They practice again and again and again and again and again. And all their faculties begins to align with what they are training on. Their faculties begin to align. Every time they are sitting in the world, they are training themselves. The more they train themselves in the word of God, the more they are able to discriminate and distinguish the lies of Satan. The more that when the enemy throws a lie, they know, no, this one is a lie. I will not take this. No, no, it's not in scriptures. My senses have been trained. My faculties have been trained. My eyes have been trained. My ears have been trained. I can sense a lie when I see one. I can sense the devil talking when I see one. I can discern. Even though if it comes as a prophecy. No, sir, that's not a prophecy. That's a prophet lie. But when you don't train your senses, anybody can just kick you anyhow. They call your phone number, you'll be jumping. Hey, when I train my senses, I know phone number calling is not part of the curriculum of heaven. Give Jesus praise, please. Amen. You know, if a child is doing chemistry and they don't know chemistry, when you bring for them accounting, they will think it's chemistry. Because chemistry has numbers, isn't it? It has numbers. Uh-huh. You bring accounting for them, they will think it's chemistry. Because he has not trained himself to know chemistry, to know the difference between chemistry numbers and accounting numbers. There are many believers like that. They've not trained themselves to know when Satan is lying to them, even though he's masquerading as an angel of light. As we go home tonight, NIV puts it this way: but solid food is for the matured, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So as a natural man, you cannot receive, because you have not grown, you have not, you know, trained yourself. Listen, great is your destiny, friends. Likewise also, great is your responsibility to make it a reality. Great is your destiny. Likewise, great is your responsibility to make it a reality. Great is your destiny. Destiny in the hands of idleness decays. So we must embark on an adventure. When God tells us it's our year of light, as I sat down, the more I listen to the Holy Ghost, the more I see responsibility. responsibility. The more I see responsibility. Why? Because as you and I embark on an adventure with accepting responsibility for growth, we are going to arrive at an enviable destiny that God has prepared for us. And I prophesy, no devil will deny you that level in the name of Jesus. I say, no devil will deny you that level in the name of Jesus. Then the last person is the spiritual person, you know, which now that's what I was reading about. Those who have trained themselves to be able to come into the dimensions of knowing what the mind of the Holy Spirit is. Those who now, they fellowship with the mysteries of God. I'm not saying being spooky, but they're able to know what the mind of God is saying. You know, those who now, you know, by the word of the Lord, they can discern. They can know when an attack has come. They can know when it's a lie. They can know when it's the truth. Or they can know which stages God is taking them through. They are in the midst of challenge. By training themselves in with God's word, they can discern that no. And this challenge I'm in, I think God is allowing me to go through it because of what is ahead of me. Or no. This challenge is a demonic attack. I take authority and all of those things. So as we continue to grow, the kingdom of God benefits. Everyone around us benefits. Our family benefits. The church benefits. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Jesus praise tonight. Let's rise on our feet and go.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.